Over the course of this letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, Paul has stated again and again that in the gospel we are justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That Jesus Christ is the Saviour who has died for our sins and has conquered death by rising from the grave. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ tonight is forgiven. That Jesus is enough. The work of Jesus Christ is sufficient for full salvation to all who believe. So Paul warns the Galatians, and he warns us, if someone comes to you preaching Jesus plus something else, that you need more than Jesus for salvation, they're preaching a false gospel. The Galatians were being misled by false teachers who were saying Jesus Christ alone was not enough for salvation. There were certain deeds, certain works that they added to Jesus Christ, that they said, you must do these things as well as trust in Jesus. You must do these things as well in order to be saved. And that was not the message that Paul preached to them. In chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So he's saying this new gospel of the false teachers, Jesus Christ was not enough, was actually no gospel at all. In fact, Paul says that to believe a false gospel leads not to freedom and life, but to bondage and a curse. The worst curse is the judgment of God. And so he uses these strong words in chapter 5, verse 12. I wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Sound doctrine always unites. False teaching always divides. So then Paul says in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now to walk, Paul is using a figure of speech there to describe how someone lives their life. We see many examples of the use of walk as a way of life throughout the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is how we should live. So walk is used often as this figure of speech for a way of life. Colossians 2 verse 6. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1, Brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. 1 John 1 verse 7, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. So as Paul describes walking in the Spirit, he's describing a way of life. That we are set free in Jesus Christ. We are set free from the bondage of sin and death. We are released from the burden of the law, thinking that law keeping is the way of salvation. We are set free from having to submit ourselves to a yoke of slavery, Paul says. So walk in the Spirit, but do not use freedom in Christ as a license to sin. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So Paul is saying, if you're a Christian, you've been cleansed of your sin, that you might serve God and love sacrificially as Christ has loved you. Now this is very different from the common pattern of nominal Christianity. Nominal Christianity means people who say they're Christians, but it's just a Christian in name. Who live one day a week for God on a Sunday and then live in a completely different way for the rest of the week, living for themselves. The Bible calls that hypocrisy. Saying you're a follower of Jesus on a Sunday, but through the rest of the week living like the devil. Saying on a Sunday you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, but behaving the rest of the week as a citizen of this fallen world. So Paul is saying there will be a difference in the way of life, the Christian way of life, from that of the world around. And that's because of the work and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So here in chapter 5, Paul gives us a substantial description of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The work of the flesh, he said, that's still at work in the life of the believer, that which must be put to death. But the evidence of the work of the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And he begins to expand on that in verse 17, where he says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." The sinful nature produces that terrible catalogue of sin we read in verses 19 to 21. What Paul calls the works of the flesh. They are evident, he says. They are glaring. They are obvious. They stand out. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries. This terrible catalogue of the behaviours of the work of the flesh. Those who live in this way, says Paul, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And by way of contrast then, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit, who teaches us to put to death the works of the flesh, produces in the life of the believer the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what I want to return to this evening. Paul's ringing statement about Christian liberty, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." Paul glories in that liberty that Jesus Christ has bought for us. Liberty from the curse of the law as our accuser. Liberty from the law of the way of salvation, which God never meant it to be. And so Paul says, walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live in the Spirit. And as you do that, you will find God producing in your life what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. This transformation. This change, this work of God in the life of the believer. It is this fruit of the Spirit that identifies you, says Paul, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you're not saved by works. He's not returning to that false teaching of the false teachers again. He's saying these are the result of salvation. Because an unfruitful Christian is a contradiction in terms. Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, "You will know them, you will know the Christians, by their fruits." Matthew 21, verse 43, "The kingdom of God will be given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." John 15, verses 5 and 8, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So the evidence that God has entered your inner life is going to be seen in fruit that is outwardly seen. The fruit doesn't save you, but the fruit is the evidence that God has saved you. This is the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in the life of the believer.